Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta. Welcome back, Chooms, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, I love that. It's my favorite hello of the week. You make me happy. And another thing that makes me happy is our patrons, and we have them here with us tonight to discuss a very interesting topic. Ninja, why don't you say hello?
Hello. Hi. Okay, there we go. Now you can hear me.
Yes, much better. And welcome to our newest patron, Tangent. What should we call you?
I like Tangent. But howdy, howdy.
And Turbo.
Hello.
Hello. All right, guys. Welcome in tonight. I am excited to talk about tonight's topic, which was talked about on the Cyberpunk Lorecast of the Robots Radio Discord. It was decided out in the open this month. And we are going to talk about our Orion predictions. Now, Orion is the code name that they have given to the next cyberpunk project. We don't know what year it's going to be set in. We don't know even really what area or part of Night City, or even if it's going to be in Night City at all. All we know is that the next cyberpunk game is in the fun stage of production. Ideas are being thrown at the wall. Gabriel Amatangelo has talked about it and has done a little bit of an interview saying that they are in the fun stages right now, thinking of all of their ideas. And so now we are going to throw some more ideas at them. What do we want to see in the next game? Who has thoughts?
Well, personally, I think it would be really cool to see the fifth corporate war that is led by rogue AIs. And considering that The Witcher is canonically an in-game video game, that consciousness of Gontor Odim leading that expedition against people would be really, really cool.
You know, if I had a nickel for every time we talked about Gontor Odim on a Patreon chat this week, I'd have two nickels.
Which isn't a whole lot, but it's more than you would expect.
It was yeah, we were talking about the Gonzo Dib and like his cyberpunk variant on Monday, which is wild. So
yeah, no, I think it would just be really, really awesome, and it would make so much sense, especially with the way that rogue AIs have become conscious and started invading, you know, just people like Lilith, you know, the cyber psycho and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. We also, I mean, we kind of have the other side of things with like Alt kind of forming up her like collection of AIs that I'm sure would have a part in that.
Oh, that would be actually really cool. Yeah, like,
No, go ahead.
Like, if she spearheaded the entire thing and then started taking concepts and ideas that exist in cyberpunk, like just in the general universe, and then started creating facets of those representations.
I mean, because we know she has her, we talked about it, her like stronghold in, was it
Hong Kong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Like her, yeah, that stronghold on like the net side of things in Hong Kong, which is still, I believe as of right now, still kind of a wasteland in the real life part of it.
I think it's pretty derelict, but it, yeah, there's not no so like cool. thriving, no thriving population there. No, I love that idea, especially Rogue building up, like, she kind of already is building up an army and an arsenal behind the Black Wall. And especially if we feed her more engrams, she could possibly have V or Johnny, one of the two, and then possibly Jackie as well. And then anybody else that she's kind of sucked up through Mikoshi as well. So she's building a...
And then there's also the Kanto Mark III, where you're consistently feeding consciousness into the Black Wall. So if Rogue could take control of that and then lead that army, that would be like some wild necromancy.
Yeah. I'll just clarify, Alt, I think the Rogue AI part made us start saying Rogue and not Alt.
Oh, whoops. Yeah.
But it's fine. Just to clarify for other listeners. Yeah, no, there's also a chance, I think, if depending on what like they go with the ending that they decide is the canonical ending, there is a chance that you get both V and, I guess, yeah, both V and Johnny, if V keeps their body, but then like doesn't actually fix themselves, because V had to be soul killed in order, like at the end in Mikoshi, right? And then, so Alt already has an access to an engram.
That's fair. I didn't really think about that aspect of it, that we have already been soul killed no matter what ending we really go with. So Alt has access to our entire persona. And I know that I'm a badass in every playthrough I have, so...
This is kind of the point.
Yeah. Turbo Ninja, any thoughts about a fifth corporate war run by AI?
That would be cool, because I know with games a lot, for a little while, they're going for live action. Kind of like how it could give us like little things where like, hey, you leave our main map and go like these little maps, like for like missions and stuff. Like, hey, you need to go get this supplies and stuff. If they do that, like they could add like little things, like so the DLCs, we could get other little maps in. That we, like we drive out of Night City, go through the Badlands, and we like drive to a nearby spots and stuff. We'll take our little the hover vehicles.
I love that. As soon as you said like the whole mini map thing, it reminded me of how net running in Cyberpunk Red works, and they could easily incorporate that.
That's what I was going to bring up for my thing. I want to kind of in Cyberpunk too, because I don't know if it's the actual rules, but like one tabletop I heard, they kind of did it like where you, whenever you did netrunning, you actually like physically hack into it. You go into it, and it's like this like dungeon. Like you slowly go down to get your information. You fight
the net architecture, so you can like they, you basically they, like, delve
dogs
into
and stuff. Like I would love for that to be like. Not like a mini game, but you know, like every time you wanted to hack into someone, you literally had to like fight your way in and out.
I think that would be great.
I don't know if that would change it up or if a lot of people would like it, because I don't know if a lot of people want to play something like that. But I think it'd be cool. That was what I was going to bring it to, like actual net running being like closer to what I heard in that tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know if that was the actual rules or home edition or something like that.
Yeah, that is the red rules. it was a way to like make net running be more active and involved in the game, because 2020 rules where you basically could sit at home and net run from your couch, which made you not be really a part of a team. I have a question actually for Tangent with your theory. Do you think is in this case the rogue AIs, or you think that they're being spearheaded by Mr. Blue Eyes?
Possibly. Not to keep bringing Odem up, but I feel that there's a very strong possibility that he is, I mean, he's obviously controlled by a rogue AI. Who he was before, I think it would be interesting if they included almost like a battle of consciousness, like kind of how when you go cyber psycho, it only lasts for a little bit because you're such a strong personality that potentially him fighting against whoever the rogue AIs that's absorbed him and infiltrated him, infected him, that would lead to a nice little subplot.
Okay. Because my thought just on that was just the side of things of like with the Phantom Liberty stuff, considering like whatever path they decide there as well, does he get his hands on the tech that Songbird has and then use that to, I mean, use her to basically take a better control of the Blackwall? Because, you know, if he has like Song, I'm sure he could just rip it down if need be.
Well, Noosa has Songbird at the moment and he's not affiliated with them.
Well, so, it will send her to the moon. Oh, on the moon. That's what I'm saying. It depends on what they decide is the canonical one. And if she's on the moon, then that puts her into the hands of Mr. Blue Eyes and whatever he decides to do with her.
And then also Mr. Blue Eyes sends V to the moon. And if you betrayed Songbird and you have the Kanto, then that would imply that he has all the access to the Black Wall. Like, even a lot of the remarks that the Kanto AI makes, like, oh, your species is so weak and fragile. Oh, or even like when you use it against the robots that are a part of the NCPD. It's just like, oh, fragile constructions made by fragile people. That could all just be tying into something that could be greater in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And especially with the way, like, my canon is freeing Songbird And then my V also goes to the moon. So I could see this storyline playing out for me very easily. But then that's like not what you would do at all, Toasty, because you stay in, not in Night City, but you travel with the nomads. So I don't know. It would be so difficult for them to have a storyline start at the end of V's story. I think there has to be a time jump. Or I
mean, probably, but they can still use those elements of like, because he's just collecting the pieces in this situation. You know, now that we realize, I mean, the Songbird and V, if that, and I see V's ending, like the becoming like the head fixer of Night City or whatever. I see that honestly as a like a choice for them to make as the canonical, because it's like staying within Night City as a whole and doing that, like, because V wanted to rise and be the best regardless of what life path you took. That was still the dream with Jackie, essentially. Mm-hmm. So
With that, I have a feeling that my personal favorite ending, which I think is going to be canonical, is the Phantom Liberty one, because it was the one that was most recently released and was a DLC. And typically CDPR continues with the additions that they use. And so that would mean the Noosa got a hold of potentially the Kanto, and they brought it to like the moon or whatever, like, I don't know. And then all of that would just spiral out of control. They try to use powers that they don't understand. They have no control. Also, screw Myers. I hate Myers all day.
Everyone does. Actually, I think regardless of which way they do with Phantom Liberty, I think he still plays to the benefit, because either, you know, put it in the hands, like free Songbird, put it into the hands of Mr. Blue Eyes, who's going to abuse that shit, or you turn her over to Noosa, who's going to abuse that shit. I mean, they already were, like, they're gonna, like Tangent just said, use powers that they don't understand, and maybe that's where like the black wall comes down and like we get flooded, you know, regardless. Well, even its potential,
even Brigitte was very strongly talking about how the black wall is having holes poked into it, that these rogue AIs are coming out and they're starting to like infect people. And so if Noosa tries to utilize it as a weapon, even with like Cynosure and everything, like that was Militech that was directly attached to Noosa. Like, and they failed that. So why wouldn't they continue to fail that? Mr. Blue Eyes sees how that's going to go and then utilizes it, being a rogue AI himself, if not directly affected by Alt.
Yeah.
All right. I'm loving all this, and I'm seeing how different games can form, and I think this is kind of what the writing room looks like right now. Throw out an idea, see what path we can travel down, and how we can loop different things together. Ninja, what about you? What thoughts you got going on?
Well, as for the next game, I definitely think there should be a time jump. It shouldn't be like a continuation. But I would also like it to be in a different part of the country.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I think if it's not like a super big time jump where a lot of things are different, it'll kind of just be the same Night City from the current game. So I think a different location would help it a lot.
So there's the possibility they were teasing with Phantom Liberty and Songbird being from New York, because I feel like that's the kind of the opposite. I mean, it's also the I guess maybe they won't use an exact location. You know, Night City was a like made from scratch area. for Cyberpunk universe. So maybe something over there that's not quite the biggest city on the east, something close to it, but who knows?
Yeah, possibly. Maybe also something in the south too, like maybe Texas, where it could be maybe one big population center and then some smaller surrounding ones.
If it's thing about Texas, we're too damn big for shit. Just the mass is like you have a big area, but like the smaller surrounding, like how far out is that is the question, because there's a lot of open area.
Isn't Texas its own city state also? It's a free state like Night City is. So it's not part of the NUSA?
Yeah, I think so.
It is.
In any type of media where it's a future thing, whether post-apocalyptic or more cyberpunk, Texas always seems to be its own entity every single time.
Yeah, well, that's because Texas still wants to secede in real world United States politics.
It's because we have oil and guns. That's pretty much the only reason. It's like, we don't need y'all, whatever. But that's
until it snows a little bit, and then you're screwed.
I agree. I mean, I agree. You're right.
I also agree that I would like for it to be in a different location, but I think I kind of want to get completely out of the States. I would love for the game to be based, like if the next game is based on like the future of Arasaka, take us back to Japan. Like set the game completely somewhere different. It could be within the same time frame around 2077, or maybe like, as we know that in the future, if we go down the path of like the 2-year coma, we know that everybody's pulling out of Night City. Show us the politics and the storyline that's happening back in Tokyo. It's in Tokyo, right? Where Arasaka's headquartered.
New Tokyo.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I mean, I would love to go to Cyberpunk Japan, but I don't know if that one's as likely, unfortunately.
That would be pretty decent, especially if they introduced a new pro tag that was a part of, you know, just like from Tokyo, and then even maybe added DLC or late stage series of missions where you have to go to Night City and then deal with the issues that are going on there. I also play a corporate FemV, so Arasaka is kind of like always a little bit in the background.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of the idea for Cyberpunk in general. Like, Arasaka is always in the background, regardless of like any point in time you play. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's, you know, 2045, the time of the Red, where they're recouping their strength just to come back in later during the unification. Like, they're always there. They're always an entity. They're kind of the big one. So it would also put us closer to Hong Kong if the AIs are part of it.
Yeah. It's very true.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm really liking these ideas, and I think we can keep them going. And maybe focus a little bit more on gameplay aspects that we would want to see. Like what, or lifestyle paths that we would want to see, or different things like that. Like physically, what do we want this game to be like? Because they have quite a lot of time in order to get everything all set up. So what do we want to see from that standpoint? Let's take a quick little mid-break here where we will listen to some sponsors of the show, thank our patrons, and just be happy people.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the middle of the show, where we talk about the show and not the lore of Cyberpunk. We don't have any new reviews to read out this week. We don't have any new patrons to shout out this week. Super sad on both parts. So, please leave us a review on iTunes. Leave those comments on Spotify. Give us those 5-star reviews. They give me life. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else to add to the middle of the show.
There's normally another line you say for those. You're looking at me. I know you're looking at me.
I am looking at you. Were you waiting for me to ask, is there anything you want to add to the middle of the show?
Yes, I was.
Is there anything that you want to add to the middle of the show?
No.
Okay. Let's get back into it then. All right, let's get back into it then. From a gameplay standpoint, things that we want to see in Orion, Cyberpunk 2, Cyberpunk 20, who knows what year. I actually really love Turbo's idea of showing netrunning as a true architecture and not just a, I'm going to follow numbers along a pathway.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Also, I'm hoping that it's 21 something. That's my personal hope, is that it's turn of the century, because I think that'd be cool.
Didn't we talk about this? I feel like we've talked about this, yes, what cool number it would be. 2101?
Yeah, I think that's the one we settled on, but I don't know.
Dang. It would be also really cool, just from a number standpoint, if it was 2404.
An error.
it's so far in the future.
That's an insane amount of time jump, because we haven't had that big of a jump, because it went 2012, 2020, 2045, 2077. Those are the time jumps that we've currently had. Yeah, go what's ahead, up, Turbo?
Turbo?
I was just going off the pun.
Turbo has raised his hand.
I didn't want to interrupt, so I'm like, ooh, wait, what's this hand? Ooh, does it raise my hand? Like,
yes, it does.
And more with the net running, I was thinking, like, if we do make a time jump and it goes to the future, if they ever wanted to add a multiplayer in it, they could always make it digital. Since we're so far into the future, they could always say, now there's, like, this internet, like they've now cordoned off another part of the internet, and this is where, like, all the mercs, like you know what I mean, I keep thinking like of an adventures guild where everyone goes talk shop, like say like, hey, I just went on this, like, especially we have the little DLC mission, like side missions, like the little mini maps, like I just want mission, like we could all go together and talk, like maybe we gotta fight each other. But it could build a community, like, say, I just did this mission. There's this really random boss that popped, the secret boss I found. Like, this is where to go find him and stuff like that.
Mm.
And RD, what they look like is, like, our avatar in there. But wherever they make, whatever shade of, like, color they make it, so it looks like we know it's digital, except for RV is color shifted.
Okay. So you're hoping that you have, especially with the games that I know that you play, Turbo, they are definitely more squad based. You have a lot more party members with you, And so you're kind of hoping that you have more teammates or people that you can call upon through the net in order to come adventure or mission with you.
Maybe on the side ones, but in the main game, no. I was just, I was making like maybe a spot for the community to get together, though.
Mm.
In the game. Like, I know how, like, I was thinking like a mix between GTA, but without the griefing between each other. Like, we can't, like, in this, like, meeting place, we can't hurt each other.
Oh, you so want an actual multiplayer physical space in the game for you to meet up with other players who are playing through their own storyline.
Okay. Yeah, like, GTA I was maybe thinking, like, a thing to build a community.
Okay.
So I know Cyberpunk has a big tabletop community. Maybe people get there. And maybe they're like, hey, why don't we play a tabletop through, like, they're not actually playing the tabletop in the game, but they literally can talk each other that way. I know there's Discords and that stuff. I'm just saying, like, a way for the Cyberpunk community people to get along and talk about the game there.
Well, yeah, I guess other than this podcast, there's not a whole lot of places for the Cyberpunk gaming community to get together.
Except for Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Cyberpunk apostrophe D.
Well,
but it would give us a multiplayer, even if it went to Jen's way. But I'm just saying, like, they could always have a little hub where one can get together.
No, that sounds really cool. I like that,
Turbo. That would be actually really cool. Like, even if, you know, like, if it took place in like Tokyo or Hong Kong or wherever, with those structures, that could be an entire, like, little mini game where people could play as, like, let's say rogue AIs or anything, and battle themselves into the real world.
Ooh, yeah. Would you want PvP? I mean, you'd have to agree to it. But I think I'd kind of like a little bit of that aspect of it. Only if you agree to it, though. I don't play on PvE servers.
Like, would it end up being like that, was it the Left 4 Dead style where you're a zombie and then, like, or you can play as a zombie, but you also play as, like, a hunter or whatever? Like, versus? But it's rogue AIs versus good AIs or actual netrunners? I don't know. We would lump those as.
Well, AIs versus human.
That would be sick.
Ninja, you got any thoughts on this?
Like gameplay. I always enjoy a maybe more fast-paced gun-wielding style. Like, maybe dual wielding lighter guns.
Ooh. Yeah. Especially with like pistols or revolvers or anything like that, you can definitely wield one in each hand. I fully agree with that. Dual wielding is way more fun than just one gun. And with cyber arms. Go ahead.
I mean, Jackie does it, so we should be able to too.
You know, that's a good fucking point. If Jackie can do it, why can't I do it?
Because Jackie's more of a show-off than we are.
Johnny's more of a show-off than we are.
Yeah, Johnny can't show off because he is just riding your brain for the most part.
Yeah.
I think that you talked about you mentioned cyber arms or whatever. I think different, more additional cyber arm attachments. I mean, obviously, Cyberpunk, just add more cyberware, obviously, but, like, you know, we're limited to our monowire, mantis blades, gorilla arms, and the missile launcher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing one, but I don't think I am. Give us more. Give us pop-up guns.
Chainsaw hands.
Yeah. Chainsaw arms would definitely be interesting.
Wasn't there a release where Cyberpunk or not Cyberpunk, sorry. But in Red, where like you have those fingers that can turn into different things, like that would be, wouldn't that be like way chill? Like you could have a different like caliber of bullet per finger with different effects. You could have the tranquilizer, you could have the ballistic, you could have the explosive. Heck, you could have one that would literally be a monowire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that would be a neat combat mechanic. Although, just a headache for developers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's the one thought on it is how difficult would it be to implement stuff like that with that much like versatility.
But I think dual wielding and getting that down would definitely be something that they could do. So I could see ninja's aspect being put in there for sure.
Yeah. So if we see other weapons, I mean, obviously.
Go for it, Turbo.
Okay. This may be coming out of left field, but Jin made me thinking about it, and I turned my system on, and I just saw weapons if they go a whole different way and make it like Baldur's Gate, where you actually like play a tabletop.
That would be really strange in setting in going completely off the wall for a
press. No. Set. My thing, the net running thing.
Oh, okay.
They make it Baldur's Gate kind of thing.
From Baldur's Gate standpoint, you're talking about like turn-based combat, that style of thing.
Yeah, it'd still be first person, but it'd be turn-based. So it's like you're actually playing kind of like a Final Fantasy, but first person. Or would it be like a Yakuza game? I don't know. I haven't played a Yakuza game.
Wouldn't that be like a better Shadowfall?
I didn't play that one.
I haven't played that one either.
It's a video game that's based in a cyberpunk universe, but there's like orcs and magic and all that type noise too.
Oh, okay. I think I've heard of. Is that there's like a tabletop on that one too, right?
Oh wait, yeah, played the Shadow Run. Yeah,
that's Shadow Run. Jeezy Louise.
I think it could definitely. I can see it. I just don't know if they want to take away from how like fast paced it is supposed to be. Like, you know, as an edge runner, you live fast, you die fast. And I think they kind of capture that with how 2077 plays. Mm-hmm. Like the combat is very like quick and dynamic and intense.
I kind of wouldn't mind the slowdown though for just in those specific moments of running.
For sure. It'd be great. I just don't know how, if they want to have that like kind of system in place for it.
Yeah.
For running, I imagine that would actually be really cool because it would be a change of gameplay. It would make it unique for the system. It would make all of that very more applicable. It would lower, you know, the high work count on the developers. Like, dang, actually, that's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And besides what Jim brought, what made me also think about it is like when in real hacking, it's kind of is like, okay, in the TV shows, always hacking, it's always you're always reacting to what happens. So I always thought turn bases like would work out and stuff like that because when someone does this, you do that to counter this, and then they do your counter, and they counter.
Counter.
I counter your counter.
I think, I will say, like, the benefits to that are, like, I think really high, even on, like, the technical side of things, because if they slow it down, bring it into this, like, slower turn-based way, they can have a bit more fun with how they like aesthetically design the net running architecture and how that looks, because having a lot of moving parts in something that's a big area with moving parts can really dog on systems. Mm-hmm. But if you have a slower combat system, then you can kind of really up that other side of it.
Yeah. I'm all excited for a game that may or may not be happening. Like, I'm picturing cyberpunk turn-based style in my head, and I'm like, yeah, I want to play this game, but who knows if this is going to be anything that we see in the future.
I mean, it won't be until past 2030 if it is, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, gosh. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to say earlier to note, we'll have to revisit this idea once The Witcher 4 comes out and determine if what canon they go for Witcher and if that has any correlation to Cyberpunk to help us figure it out.
And the way that Witcher 4 plays as a video game in itself is also going to lead us to where they're going. Because CDPR, I mean, they're pretty consistent with how the style of gameplay that they do. So if they throw anything wild and crazy and brand new in Witcher 4, it might give us an indication of where they're going with Cyberpunk 2. I think this is a pretty good spot for us to kind of wrap it up with any final thoughts or big wishes that we really want to see in the next Cyberpunk game. Ninja, you're first on my list.
Not really anything I can think of in particular right now.
All right. You want to see dual wielding and somewhere outside of Night City.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tangent, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Final thoughts.
I really like Ninja's idea about dual wielding. I mean, having a pair of gorilla arms, dual wielding shotguns would be way epic. Like, that would just be so cool. But shout outside out of Becca. That,
it was like, shout out Becca.
That's the idea.
But outside of that, I mean, I really do just want a good storyline that involves the Fifth Corporate War and rogue AIs.
Yeah. I think, I mean, obviously, I can't guarantee it because I'm not CDPR, but I feel like that's a strong, strong chance for both of those things.
Well, they already, I've had a couple developers email me and be like, hey, stop talking things. Reddit's brutal.
Damn.
Turbo.
Yes.
Any final thoughts?
I also, since I want it to do digital, I want to be able to there be a romance, an AI.
Oh.
Like, add a new romance in of AI, like, or you could, like, just that, because, like, it's like, if we're going to add a new frontier onto Cyberpunk, no offense, when humans go exploring someplace, that's one of the things they do. They bang the locals.
That is so true. You know what, Turbo, you're right. Oh.
That's true. That's true.
I don't think I have anything to follow it up. Toasty, you got any final thoughts?
You know, I probably did, but they're gone now. But, you know, but no, I don't got nothing. And my brain stopped working.
Your brain stopped working at fucking the locals. All right, we're good. All right. And then I think that this is truly the time for us to wrap up the show for the night and do any shout outs or plugs for things you got going on. Ninja, you got anything cool in the works?
No, not really.
All right, sounds good. Tangent, this is your first time to shout out anything you got cool going on.
Me and my bestie Tank are working on a nerddom and mental health podcast that will be hopefully on the Robots Radio channel at some point. But yeah, outside of that, we're just practicing and, you know, getting all of that in order. You know, it's just like different fandoms, nerddoms, things that we're appreciative of and how, you know, mental health and everything kind of drives us to these ideas and these things.
Yeah, no, I love the idea of combining fandoms and nerddoms with mental health. I know that on a couple of different occasions, I mean, cyberpsychosis, the only way to treat that is by going to therapy. So even in cyberpunk, therapy and mental health is a very much needed thing. So that's really cool. And keep us updated on that once your show actually goes live, and we will shout it out so that way our listeners can find you.
Absolutely will do. And as a person who plays mostly a cyber psycho, just for funsies, it's appreciated. All right.
I, too, walk the fine line of psychosis and staying out of the berserker rage. Turbo, you got anything going on?
As usual, absolutely nothing.
Woo! Sounds good. Thank you. If you'd like to hear more from me, you can find me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. And several of the characters on that show need therapy as well. Looking at you, Dragon Age 2, you need therapy. Right now, we are covering characters in Baldur's Gate 3. Toasty, what about you?
You can catch me doing the Witcher Lorecast, as well as speaking of people who need therapy and actually did recently get it, probably.
That's right.
My character Mono on the Cyberpunk apostrophe D podcast that I do with the Fumbling Four and Already Crit Gang.
I totally forgot about therapy. All right, and at the end of every episode, we shout out Miracle of Sound and thank him for allowing his music to be used. We use snips and clips from Neon Red, the instrumental remix. Thank you, Gav. You are amazing. And even though Toasty doesn't know this, we fully support you. And I'm sorry for all the bullshit you're going through.
Nah, we fully support you. I understand it. I saw the videos. I follow him on TikTok.
Okay.
The well, Peyton Parrish stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
We fully support you, Gav. All right. And with that, while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Are you a fan of Elden Ring? Are you confused about the lore as pretty much everyone else? We've got you covered. Check out the Elden Archives, a lore podcast that helps to explain every little confusing detail about the Lands Between. Things like what exactly happened on the Night of the Black Knives, or what we really know about characters like Mikala. Just like the show you're listening to now, we're on the Robots Radio Network, so you know it'll be good. Wondering how to find the show? Easy. Either go to robotsradio.net or search Elden Archives on whatever podcatcher you're using right now. Bookmark the show for later, and we'll see you in the Lands Between. Again, that's the Elden Archives, FromSoft Lorecast, available everywhere.